Therefore, the salmon of the valley must be protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Keshava. As such, the sages wanted to take some steps to relieve the situation. So, for want of the king, everything was in disturb and turned topsy-turvy. The sages decided that the descendants of the family of the saintly King Anga should not be stopped, and for in this family, the salmon was very powerful, and the children were prone to become devotees of the Lord. Purport, the purity of hereditary succession is called the Mahogavirya, the pious seminal succession in the twice-born families of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, especially as well as in families of the Vaishyas also, must be kept very pure for the observation of the purificatory process in beginning with Garbhagriha Samskara, which is observed before conceiving a child. Unless this purificatory process is strictly observed, especially by the Brahmanas, the family descendants become impure and gradually sinful activities become visible in the family. Maharaj Anga was very pure because of the purification of semen in the family of Maharaj Dhruva. However, his semen became contaminated and associated with his wife Sunita, who happened to be the daughter of death personified. Because of this polluted semen, King Vena was produced. This was catastrophe in the family of Maharaj. All the sentient persons and sages considered this point, and they decided to take action in this matter as described in the following verses. After making the decision, the saintly kings and sages turned the thigh of the dead body of King Vena to great force, and according to a specific method. As a result of this churning, a dwarf-like person was born from King Vena's body. Purport, that a person was born by the churning of the thigh of King Vena proved the spirit souls individuals separate from the body. The great sage and saintly persons could beget another person from the body of the dead King Vena, but it was not possible for them to bring King Vena back to life. King Vena was gone and certainly had taken another body. Saintly persons and sages were only concerned with the body of Vena because it was a result of the seminal succession in the family of Maharaj and Dhruva. Consequently, the ingredients by which another body could be produced were there in the body of King Vena. By a certain process, when the thighs of the dead body were churned, another body came out. Although dead, the body of King Vena was preserved by drugs and mantras chanted by King Vena's mother. In this way, the ingredients for the production of another body were there. When the body of the person named Bahuka came out of the dead body, King Vena was really not very astonishing. It was simply a question of knowing how to do it. From the semen of one body, another body is produced, and the life sentence is visible due to the souls taking shelter of this body. One should not think that it is impossible for another body to come out of the dead body of Maharaj Vena. This was performed by the skillful action of the sages. This person born from King Vena's thigh was named Bahuka, and his complexion was as black as a crow. All the limbs of his body were very short, his arms and legs were short, and his jaws were large. His nose was flat, his eyes were reddish, and his hair copper-colored. He was submissive and meek, and immediately after his birth, he bowed down and inquired, "Sirs, what shall I do?" The great sages replied, "Please sit down, Nishada." Thus, Nishada, the father of the Naishada race, was born. Purport said in the Shastras, the head of the body represents the Brahmanas, the arms represent the Kshatriyas, the abdomen represents the Vaishyas, and the legs and the beginning of the thighs represent the Sudras. The Sudras are sometimes called black or Krishna, the Brahmanas are called Sukla or white, and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are a mixture of black and white. However, those who are extraordinarily white are said to have skin produced out of white leprosy. It may be concluded that white or golden hue is the color of the higher caste, and black is the color of the Sudras. After his birth, he immediately took charge of all the resultant actions of King Vena's sinful activities. As such, this Naishada class are always engaged in sinful activities like stealing, plundering, and hunting. Consequently, they are only allowed to live in the hills and forests. Purport, the Naishada are not allowed to live in cities and towns because they are sinful by nature. As such, their bodies are very ugly and their occupations are also sinful. We should, however, know that even these sinful men, who are sometimes called Kirakas, can be delivered from the sinful condition by the topmost to the topmost Vaishnava platform by the mercy of a pure devotee engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord to make anyone, however sinful may be, fit to return home back to Godhead. One has only to become free from all contamination by the process of devotional service. In this way, everyone can become fit to return home back to Godhead. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. O son of Prita, those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, as well as Sudras, and approaches the Supreme Destination. Thus end the Bhagavad-gita purports, the fourth canto, 14th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of King Vaina. Because as you begin to think that although a Brahmin is peaceful and impartial, because he's equal to everyone, it's still not his duty to neglect pure humans. Find such neglect, a Brahmin's spiritual power diminishes, just as water kept in a cracked pot from itself. So the Brahmanas understood that they had to do something, because first they put Vaina in power, then they killed him, and now there was no king again, so there was disruption of society, and the people suffered. So they took the responsibility to fix the situation. So what do? They produced a body, and this body was Nishada. So this was not the proper king. This personified all King Veda's sins, or it was the opposite. But we'll find that later on, the next body they produced was Prithu Maharaj. So first the unqualified person was born from the body, and then the qualified person was born from that body. So this was the expertise of the Brahmanas. They have the knowledge by which they could produce another body from a dead body. And as Prabhupada remarks, that is not so difficult. It is only taking the materials and making another body out of the materials. The difficult part, of course, is how to get the spirit soul in there. A different one. They didn't want the same one as King Vaina's spirit soul. But they wanted a different person in there. So that was the expertise of the sages, that they could call in for the specific Atma into that body, once they produced the body. So in this way, the lineage could be continued. And so in general, the lineages were, the lineage was pure, and they followed strict rules on how to marry, and therefore the offspring were pure, and kings begat kings. Mm-hmm. And this went on from the time of Swayambhuvamana through Dhruva, and later on all greatly qualified kings were born. But then we learn that Vaina was the product of Anga and his wife was a descendant of death personified. So he obviously married the wrong person, and then the result was King Vaina. So that's where the contamination came in, because of the wrong marriage. King Vaina was the result of that contaminated marriage. And therefore, and then he was the only son. So that ended the line, more or less. So they had to somehow continue a line of kings from somewhere. So they took his dead body, even though that was a wrong body in one sense, because he was completely unqualified. They still took that body, and then they produced a descendant. The first descendant also was unqualified, so he became the founder of the Naishada race, the tribals that live in the hills. And then they produced another body from that. So Prithu was technically a descendant from King Vaina. But by the power of the sages, and they managed to create a person who did not have the qualities of King Vaina. So the contamination was completely absorbed by the leader of the Naishada race. So he took all the bad qualities, and then non-sinful portion was manifested in the body of Prithu Maharaj. So in this way, the line of kings was able to continue properly for ruling the world. So as I mentioned before, we find here a concern for the welfare of the population, and the Brahmanas are concerned about this to a certain degree. Of course, the direct persons to do this are the kings, but if the kings are not present, then the Brahmanas have to somehow find a remedy for this. So this is why they took measures when they had killed King Vaina. And they saw that without a king, then there would be disorder in society. So this indicates, of course, that at all times, people do need some sort of government. They need some person to restrict and create laws and enforce laws, which means that human society does need some control. And the reason is that the tendency is not to control the senses. So because of that, and then we need rules for controlling. And of course, different societies have different sets of rules that they evolve and different systems of enforcing it. And in many cases, it is not a complicated system. So we'll see on a very tribal level, they also have laws, which have been going on for ages, and they have a system by which they rule. But it is not a complicated system. And very simple. But as we have populations growing, especially in cities, then it becomes a little more complicated. And then we get bigger sets of rules, more complicated rules, and more complicated governments, etc. And then we get kings who control not one city, but they control areas and countries. And then it becomes more complicated. Then we have to have more complicated systems, more bureaucracy and whatever. So in this way, as a population grows and there's more control, then we automatically have to have a more thorough system of management of the whole community. So this was already set up at the beginning of the day of Brahma by the laws of Manu. So the Manus institute Dharma, that is the general laws for regulating people and helping them control their senses. So this is recognized by the Supreme Lord that without these laws, human society is useless. So therefore, he made a specific type of law for the humans. This is what constitutes the Smriti Shastras. Manu Smriti and Parasara Smriti, Vasa Smriti, Yamaloka Smriti, etc. 18 different Smritis are there. And they deal with all the different laws, how people have to follow the laws. It deals with the castes or the varnas, etc. And in there then we have also who can marry who. And what is a mixed caste and an outcast and whatever. And so when castes generally do not follow the rules of marriage, then they become outcast. And they become mlechas or chandalas or whatever by marrying the wrong type of person. So all of that was part of the system to keep the lineage pure. As we see here, the lineage became impure by the marriage to the daughter of death, or whatever, so therefore there's a problem there. So many of the rules are like that. And we see in Bhagavad Gita also, Arjuna mentions, oh, if I kill all the men, then the women are alone, and then they have intermarriage in the wrong caste, and this will create unwanted population. The offspring will not be of the proper qualities, and then the whole system falls apart because the people are not qualified properly. So in the system we see it was birth-oriented, family-oriented. The Kshatriyas were in Kshatriya families, and they had kings, and they produced lines of descendants and same family in general. This is how they operated. And we'll see the Brahmins also and whatever, same. The lineage went on by through families, so it was largely birth-oriented and family-oriented. Unfortunately, the whole system gets gradually corrupted, as we see in Kali Yuga, that is one point. The other point, of course, is that along with this, the not only the birth is important, but the training is important. So one has to, should have proper birth, but then again, one has to be trained properly in order to come up with a proper qualification. If that is not there, then it's also useless. So we have a Brahmin born as a Brahmin that doesn't get a Brahmin education, then what use is his position? It's not use. Same with a Kshatriya. If he's not trained properly as a Kshatriya, then also he's a useless Kshatriya. You have the wrong values by which to govern them. And in some cases, even if you try to train the person, it doesn't work, as in the case of King Vena. So they tried to train him properly, and they gave him good education or whatever. Still, he was hopeless. And then the sages tried to start. Still, he rejected. So he was born in a proper family on one side, but not on the other side. But anyway, even then, they could not raise him properly. So there's not always guarantee that the person is going to come up properly, even if he's born in a proper family or in a given the proper education. It doesn't always work. So it's not inevitable. So we will see in the lineages sometimes, like in Bharat's family, his brothers, some of them became sages, not kshatriyas. They may have been trained as kshatriyas, but they developed more interest in study, so they became sages instead. And of course we see that even Parsaram in Brahminical, but he became more of a kshatriya in his orientation, after as a kshatriya. So, though the birth emphasis was there, there was also some flexibility, and ultimately, according to the final qualification of maturity, depending on birth and education and environment and association, etc., the end product is the one we have to look at, what person is qualifying. So it may be different from the birth or whatever. One has to see the final qualification of the person. But in general, they follow this idea of the birth here. Whatever. However, as I said, Kali Yuga is also topsy-turvy. And then the other point is that even the Brahmana is in the gunas. He's also simply sattva-go. So as Krishna says, we should go beyond the gunas. The Vedas deal with the gunas, but we should go beyond the gunas. That is the real interest of the Vedas. So, therefore, it is the Vaishnava who was beyond the gunas. So none of these family type things are that important. The important thing is to become a Vaishnava. Now, the Vaishnava, of course, we could say is considered superior to the Brahmana, but in one sense, the qualification of a Vaishnava is not concerned with any of the varnas at all. And therefore, Krishna says anyone can become a Vaishnava, inside the varnas, outside the varnas, it doesn't matter. The unique quality of bhakti is that whatever varna one is in, or if one has no varna, still one becomes superior to all the varnas. So that is the conclusion of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and it's the conclusion in the Bhagavatam also. Varnas themselves and birth and whatever, and even training are not that important. What is important is the development of faith in a human being, and consequently that turns into bhakti. So if one has that bhakti, then we can forget about all this other stuff. It's not important. Because by taking the bhakti, we surpass all of this. So that's why Prabhupada recommended that in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to convince the government this way or that way, and whatever. So, we should simply advise everyone to take to the process of bhakti. And this will raise people above all categories. So they become qualified automatically for anything in society. So that is the final conclusion. Though we do have government systems and whatever, more important than that is to cultivate bhakti, and this will solve all the problems. So one becomes more qualified as a Vaishnava than anything else. It surpasses all the varnas by becoming a Vaishnava. And therefore, it is also considered offensive to consider a Vaishnava in terms of varna or ashrama. We cannot distinguish a person by his birth and make distinctions and say superior Vaishnava is a Brahman Vaishnava or a Kshatriya Vaishnava or a Sudra Vaishnava or whatever. That also doesn't work. So that's considered the aparad, Vaishnava aparad. So why that is there is because the Vaishnava is superior. So why we make distinctions in terms of caste, which is inferior, when actually the Vaishnava automatically is superior to the whole system. So to bring him back onto a lower category, we are lowering the concept of the Vaishnava completely. So that we should not do. So in this way, Bhagavatam says that even the people outside the Varnashram, such as the Pulindas and the Mlechas, whatever, and Aviras and the Hunas and Andhras and whatever, simply by remembering the Supreme Lord or chanting the name of the Lord, then they become superior to the Brahman. They're automatically beyond the whole system. So that is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. So in one sense, Bhagavatam is quite revolutionary because it rejects all the Smriti Shastras. It goes beyond the Smriti Shastras. It goes beyond the whole system established by the Manus, etc. By saying that. It says there's something superior to all of that. So bhakti is superior to the Dharma. Bhakti is superior to.
Become a Vaishnava, one has to become a Brahmana. Jagadam, Lecha, all the dead, become a Brahmana. Then only one can become a Vaishnava.
Who says? Huh? Who says?
No, one has to get, develop all the. Without becoming a Brahmana, one cannot become a Vaishnava.
No. We see the regarding the hunter, he became a Vaishnava. He didn't become a Brahmana. He became superior to a Brahmana. Simply by taking the mercy of Narada Muni. So we see that it is favorable to have sattvic qualities, definitely. But by becoming a Brahmana, that does not make you a better Vaishnava. Because you may not become a Vaishnava at all. So many Brahmins aren't. Smarter Brahmins are there, they're not Vaishnavas. So they're inferior to a Vaishnava who's a Mlecha. So automatically, of course, the Vaishnava develops all good qualities. His qualities are actually superior to the Brahmins. The Brahmins' qualities are sattvic qualities, and the Vaishnava's qualities are nirguna. They're beyond the gunas. Just like Krishna's qualities are beyond the gunas. So the Vaishnava quality also is beyond the guna. So he's actually superior to the Brahmana. So by performing bhakti, automatically all qualities develop. So he doesn't have to cultivate becoming a Brahmin separately from his worship of the Lord. It's automatically accomplished and surpassed. The Vaishnava is that, but even the beginning of Vaishnava is considered superior. Because he's developed faith, which may not develop even in the best of Brahmins. So, if one develops faith, one has started the process of bhakti, so that itself is superior to anything else. Because one can go in Satvagun forever and go to Brahmaloka or whatever. But that doesn't guarantee you become a Vaishnava. So if one happens to become a Vaishnava by getting faith, and that is considered superior.
Who's on the movement, generation after generation, one needs a top of Vaishnava?
Well, whatever we can get, however we can develop our faith, we cannot predict who's going to be the topmost Vaishnava or whatever. As up to the mercy of other Vaishnavas and Krishna himself, who I want to advance is whatever. We cannot predict that. We can only do our best to inspire people to advance, that's all. But who advances to what degree, that we cannot predict. So we provide conditions by which a person can advance nicely. That's all we can do.
When acharya goes, then the whole society will become a mess. Then another acharya will come again and put it in the correct place.
Yeah, if necessary. Of course, Prabhupada didn't appoint an acharya, he made a GBC instead. because he found that the system that was in the Gaudiya Mutt didn't work either, where they appointed acharyas. So obviously, a qualified person has to be there. That's the best if he's to take, if he's to assume the leadership, and he has to be very, very qualified as an individual. And want of that, and then he made a body of a group of individuals, since not any particular person was so qualified. So he, that substituted for one person.
The next acharya will come in the fifth generation.
I don't know. Who made that prediction?
Additionally, wrote in his diary.
Fifth generation. Uh-huh. Fifth generation.
After Prabhupada.
300 years later. 300 years later. 300 years later.
So then, Maharaj, this discussion about establishing Varnashram, did it respond? I mean, what light do you have to see it?
I don't know, it's very confusing because I don't think it's actual Varnashram. If we do establish Varnashram, it becomes offensive to the Vaishnava because then we have to make Vaishnavas into Sudras and that, but you shouldn't do that. So obviously, it cannot be the same thing. It has, I don't think it actually is Varnashram as such. It is only rural communities. That's what it is. So it's not established on the lines of making people into varnas as such. They may do occupations as such as a livelihood, but we're not trying to fit them into the same system as Manu set up, where we have hereditary varnas which limit the occupations. So it's not actually the same as that system.
So this word is like a misnomer.
Well, I don't know. It's a general term, but maybe we should just say rural communities, or I don't know, whatever. It's hard to say because actually Varnashram doesn't mean rural either. It means everything. Cities also are under varnas and ashrams, not just farms. The Pandavas ruled cities, not farms. So the kings ruled cities as well as the whole country. So Varnashram doesn't particularly mean agricultural also. Agriculture is for Vaishyas, actually. So rural communities are basically Vaishya communities, which are part of the Varnashram, but not the whole thing. So I don't know, the whole terminology seems to be a little bit funny. Are we trying to make Vaishya communities? Are we trying to make rural communities? Are we trying to make self-sufficient communities? You know, there's like so many different things in there. It's not quite, the terminology doesn't quite fit as far as I can see.
So what is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Sankirtan group, and we work better than Varnashram.
Yeah, yeah. I maybe we can say Vaishnava communities. That's how to make some Vaishnava communities. that's more important. They may function in certain respects like a Varnashram community with certain rules, but they're certainly not Varnashram in one sense.
Prabhupada is talking about that how Brahmanas are responsible when there is a turmoil in the society, the Brahmanas take charge and they act. So in terms of now, if we see nowadays there is so much turmoil in so many places of the world, but ISKCON per se is an apolitical institution.
Yeah, I probably mentioned that here previously, that in Kali Yuga, better not get involved in politics. When he says instead we'll stay away from politics and encourage this population to take the Krishna consciousness instead. It's just the whole system is corrupt. The other thing, point of course, is that there is no Brahminical authority anymore. So no one's going to listen to the Brahmins anyway.
Yeah, but ISKCON, per se, there are Vaishnavas, at least there are quite a few of them, and they are better than Brahmanas. And so that intellectual property can be used?
Yeah, we can take ideas and try to influence them. But as far as directly integrating the policy, even the sages were able to do that. that, they didn't interfere with what the king was doing or whatever like that. But because there was no king, there was no government at all, then they made some solution. They put a king back in power and just continued the line. So.
One will become, one will be government, spiritual authority, then one should be a related soul.
Hmm?
Become, to take the responsibility of spiritual authority, one has to become a liberated soul.
Well, not only liberated, because impersonalists are liberated also. So one has to become more than liberated. One has to be a devotee of Krishna also.
Automatically
yeah, automatically liberated. But simple liberation itself is not the desire of the Vaishnava. It's beyond that. So that's the topmost Vaishnava. But in the material world, it is very rare to find such a person. So any Vaishnava is considered respectable. Even the Vaishnava Vas is considered that it's the provinces and Chaitanya Shritam. Even then, we mentally respect them, even though they may not have all the qualities of the Vaishnava, like the Sahajiyas and all these people. At least they have some sort of sentiment for Krishna, even if it's not the right thing. So we can mentally give them a little respect at least. But those who are Vaishnavas of sorts, even if they're not of the highest category, they should be given respect in the material world, because they're superior to the rest of the people and they have faith.
You know, can you say that the Varnashrama system is only an administrative system in the society?
Well, it functions in many ways. It's administrative, it's social, it has some spiritual impact, because obviously in that system they do have to do worship, etc. So it's not just administrative, because we'll see in that Varnashram system that they have to do certain types of worship and things like that. So it's not merely administrative. Just like the Muslim government is also administrative, but it's also it tells you have to go to the mosque every day, so it's not simply administrative. It also governs your spiritual life.
In that case, then the Vaishnava society also needs this.
Why? We made administration, but not necessarily Varnashram. We're not going to divide everybody according to Varnas.
But they do different occupations from the Vaishnava?
Yeah, but not according to birth. Well, that's hard to say. Nobody really knows what he meant by that. He meant that for the population or that for the devotees? And if we do for the devotees, then what does that mean? Do we want to make Sudra Vaishnavas and Vaishnava Vaishnavas? whatever. You know, so that's a little bit complicated because nobody really knows.
But it's not right for the society. The Varnashram system is not meant for the society, for the public.
Yeah. In general, it's for the public. It's for this is meant for the public, not for the devotees, or the King's Institute Varnashram. So the people that don't have faith, then they take the course to gradually, they may develop faith by association with Vaishnavas, and whatever.
But I heard that Prabhupada saying that even Brahmanas or Sannyasis are going to they need a Varnashram system.
Okay. Well, that does also guarantee, that doesn't guarantee no fall down. In Varnashram, you also get fall downs. That doesn't guarantee anything. It may help, but it doesn't guarantee anything. The whole Varnashram system fell apart.
Garantarashi Sushimas Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Garantarvanas Ki Jai, Vajrasi Vasyavatra Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sargopalavaram.
Thank you.